Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity. This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Do all that good stuff because you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. Mikey, we are on a tear right now. We have gone three episodes. That's 8 episodes, I believe, if my math is correct, over the last 3 weeks. And I'm pretty certain I botched all of that. It was 3-3-2, I believe. Stupidity!
Yeah, you, I don't think you nailed that.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. I am very excited, Mike. We are going to have Kenny G on. Kenny G is a friend of mine. He is a friend of the show. And this is the first time, though, I'm going to talk to him. Like, usually he comes on, Mike, and he just plays the saxophone and doesn't really say much else. And this is the first time I'm going to let the audience kind of get to know Kenny G a little bit. I'm very excited. The reason I'm having him on, huge golf fan, and he's Kenny G. Those are the only reasons. I mean, are you excited?
I have to tell you, my mother-in-law is super excited. My mother-in-law, super excited.
Is she really?
Like, overly excited. Well, She had to move, and the one CD she had to grab from her house was the Kenny G Christmas album because it's the only thing that she plays at that time.
Well, I got...
So she is, like, over the world.
I got news for you. If our demographic was mother-in-laws ages 60 and above, then we'd be hitting a grand slam today. I mean, women 25 to 90. I mean... Listen, before Kenny comes on, quick game of athletes that connote an instrument. How about that? What do you got?
Let's do it. Let's do it. You go first.
Really? Mike, I own this game. Steve Sachs. Sure. How about that? Second baseman, Dodgers.
Doug Flutie.
Flute!
Doug Flutie.
That's pretty good. Joe Horn. How about that?
Andre Drummond.
Oh, my God. Andre Drummond, now a member of the Lakers. Yeah. I don't know why I felt the need to throw that in, but I did. Okay, so we have Horn. We have Drum. We have Sachs. Frank Viola. I mean, sweet music.
Oh,
sweet music. I know it is.
That is such a good one.
Frankie V. Sweet music. Yeah, look at you. You're crestfallen,
oh,
my friend.
Oh, man. That's a good one. Oh, I can't even be. I thought I was going to crush you with Drummond.
I thought I was going to crush you with Sachs. I really did.
Tommy Tuberville.
That's excellent, Mike. That is. I am not easily impressed, and you have never looked fucking sexier to me. Holy shit, that was good. You haven't looked this sexy since we did athletes at Canoe Golf, and you pulled out Chip Beck.
Chip Kelly.
And it could have been Chip Beck.
Could have been.
I was laughing on today's show that my dad, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, okay? In this week's episode of The Apple Doesn't Fall Far from the Tree, was calling that Zalatoris guy the German. I got dad. He's American. He was born in California. Nah, the German.
No, he's not. It's the German.
He looks like Bernhard Langer. I mean. By the way, get Zalatoris on the podcast. Okay?
You got it.
Matsuyama, get him on the podcast with the interpreter. Okay, I'm serious because Billy got a request and Billy said yes. For Zalatoris, for both guys, for the champion and Zalatoris, Billy said yes to both. Okay, so I'm excited about that. Are you excited? Are you excited? How? I don't care about what your mother-in-law thinks as it relates to Kenny G. Okay. I want to know if Mikey A is excited about Kenny G.
I am very excited, okay? I just can't match her level of excitement. Okay. Like, she's sending me questions, and the woman has never taken an interest in anything I've ever done professionally.
Would she like to zoom in and ask Kenny G a question?
happened. Speaking of my in-laws, I got to tell you a quick 30-second thing before Kenny G comes on. Okay. So I was talking to my father-in-law, and I was mentioning how you would love to play Augusta. And I was saying, you know, I'd probably take my father-in-law first to play Augusta if I ever got asked, and you second. And my father-in-law drops this nugget on me. He's been asked to play several times. He knows one of the big wigs up at Augusta, and he has never gone.
Get the hell out of here.
He's been asked, like, yearly.
Get your father-in-law
to come down and play at Augusta.
Listen, forget about your fucking mother-in-law, okay? Get your father-in-law on this goddamn podcast, okay? And ask him, A, why is he saying no? And B, why is he not kind of passed that gift along to me? Seriously, I'm not saying I pay you a lot, so but I'm certainly giving you more than your fucking father-in-law. I mean,
I'm going to Stugatz this thing. Stugatz, what do you give me to get you in Augusta?
Okay, the Stugatz is right. That's a heady play, Mikey. But listen, you are sexier now than you were 4 minutes ago. Holy shit, you are
do
hot.
Me a favor. Think about it, and I'll ask you at the end of the podcast.
Do you think Kenny, Kenny G has ever played Augusta?
I can't wait to ask him.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Just seeing you makes me happy, Kenny. I know you're busy, and we'll try to rip through this. Kenny, so Mikey A was just informing me that his father-in-law has been invited to Augusta to play the course many, many times, says no every single time, and he was asking me, okay, now this is very Stugatzian of him, he asked me, Kenny, how much I would pay for him to put me in touch with his father-in-law and his father-in-law to get me on Augusta. So I ask you, have you played Augusta, Kenny? You have.
I have.
Oh, you motherfucker. Yes. Jesus Christ. You got that hair, you got the sacks, you got the money, you got the looks, and you played Augusta. So, Kenny, since you played Augusta, and you know how much I love golf, how much should I be willing to pay Mikey A for access to his father-in-law's friend at Augusta?
Wow. I mean, is it a guarantee that when you have access, you're going to be able to play?
Yes. Yes, it's a guarantee.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, at least $1,000.
$1,000. Mikey, will that get it done?
I say at least $1,000.
That will not get it done.
You want more?
It probably won't.
You want more? Of course I want more.
I'll go play with Kenny for free, Mike. I mean, Jesus.
I didn't hear Kenny invite you. By the way, Kenny, how'd you shoot at Augusta?
At Augusta, when you play there, I only played there once many years ago. You play from the members' tees. The members' tees are very, very short compared to what we just saw. So I was 1 under on the front, and I was like 3 or 4 over on the back. So I think I probably shot about a 74.
Wow. Kenny, you're a scratch golfer, man.
Well, speaking of Augusta, can I brag right now to you? So, and this is not name dropping, but since we're talking sports, my very good friend, and I say this for real, Sergio Garcia is a very good friend of mine. Wow. And I don't know, it's going to be next year or the year after. He says that he's going to invite me to the day when the champion can bring one guest to play Augusta. And I think it's that week of the Masters. So I think either next year or the year after, I'm going to be his guest. And the two of us are going to play Augusta together.
Oh my God. So you'll play Augusta with a Masters champion. That is uncanny.
How cool.
How cool is your life, Kenny? I mean, seriously.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sergio Garcia and Kenny G, a couple of G's cutting it up at Augusta. How about that?
I mean, hey, it's going to be so much fun. The problem is I'm going to play the championship tees with him because I just want to see what I choose.
Sure.
And I just want to break 100.
Oh.
I want to break 100 from there. I think I can, but You never know.
Oh, Kenny, I know you can. I mean, you play from the tips before. You probably usually play from the tips, don't you?
Not at Augusta.
Not at Augusta. That is so great.
You know how long hole number 11 is? I don't know if I could reach the green in two. Those guys are hitting the driver and then, like, you know.
Wait, so how far is it from where they play, from where the members play? Do you remember?
I don't remember that particular hole, but I remember it being really short and really easy to get. Like, the par fives were easy to get on into. And I don't put that far compared to those guys. But there's 11 is a really long hole. 10 is not easy. You know, that downhill lie is not easy.
It's very.
I know everything about that.
It's course. Very hilly and surprisingly hilly for a lot of people. So you played it once. And so that the time you play with Sergio coming up in the future will be your second time playing that course.
Well, I played it three times over a weekend. Jesus. So it'll be my fourth
all
time.
Right, Jesus Christ. Stop bragging, Kenny. All right. For crying out loud. By the way, can you shove me in your bag or can I be your caddy when you play with Garcia?
But you know, I'm not sure it's going to work out, bro. I don't know.
My father-in-law is looking pretty good right about now. Yeah,
it's up to 5,000, Mike. All right, Kenny G with us on Stupati. Kenny, I'm excited because I was telling Mikey A, we've had you on. You're a friend. You're a friend of our show, of course, as well. But I've never really had a real in-depth, serious discussion with you. You've come on. You played the sax. I asked you a dumb Super Bowl question, and then we get you out of there. And so I want our audience to kind of get to know you a little bit. So let's start here, Kenny. Why the sax? How'd you fall in love with the saxophone?
Okay, yeah. Well, when I was 10 years old, I'd already started piano lessons, which I did not like. My mother was very much behind music lessons. And so I quit piano. So that wasn't like well received. And so when I was 10, I was sitting there watching TV. And I saw a guy play a sax solo, and I told my mom, hey, I think I'd like to play that instrument. And so she goes, well, you know, maybe we'll just rent it because, you know, we know, you know, with your history, she didn't say it like this in these many words, but basically you have a history of quitting. So let's rent one and see what happens. But I loved it the second I took that sax out of the box. So that's how it started. Yeah, just from seeing somebody on TV play a solo, and I thought, wow. That looks like fun.
So, Kenny, when did you know that you were so good at playing that instrument that you could make a living off of playing that instrument? Was there a moment for you?
Yeah, I think the moment was in high school when I played with Barry White and the Love Unlimited Orchestra. Wow. So picture the little white Jewish guy from Seattle with Barry White's Love Unlimited Orchestra. Like, how and why would I ever get that gig? But I got the gig.
Were you nervous?
No, you know what? I think I was too young to be and naive to be nervous. I'd be nervous today, but not then.
Right. Young and dumb, right? It's better being young and dumb. Kenny, if I told you, I mean, you are one of the best-selling recording artists of all time. So if I told you way back when, okay, back in high school, what your life would eventually turn into by playing the saxophone, you would have told me what?
I would say that doesn't sound like there's much of a chance of that happening. I mean, honestly, I never thought about it that way. It was really, and even today, the quest for me is just to play this thing and get better and better. That's all it's ever been. And for whatever reason, I think the reason is because it's so genuine that things have opened up for me because all I care about is becoming really good at this thing and working hard at it. And then the doors open and I go, okay, let me try that. Let me go there. You know, hey, do you want a record contract? Oh, sure. Clive Davis, you want to sign me? Oh, okay, I'll try that. Hey, you want to play on the Grammys? Sure. You want to make an album? Okay, let's try that. And it's just like, keep going.
How about the national anthem for Super Bowl, huh? Let's go, Kenny. Hey,
that's the thing. They should have had me play it like at the Super Bowl. They should have.
I think you should be playing it every Super Bowl. Where's the strangest place that saxophone has ever been, Kenny?
Let's see.
These keys can talk.
I wish it could. Yeah. Well, look, I can tell you this. When I first got it in 1974, I got this saxophone because I put an ad in the paper. So this is the old days. So you youngsters there, this was the only way you could communicate. You put an ad in the paper.
Right.
And somebody saw the ad. Maybe they saw it and maybe they responded. It says, wanted soprano saxophone. And my number, or actually my parents' home phone number. So this guy calls up and says, yeah, I got a soprano saxophone, $300. I said, great. So I drove from Seattle down to Olympia, Washington, and I gave the guy $300. It was in a green case. It was this saxophone. And I had no idea that this was going to be like such a prized kind of sax, because this is a Selmer Mark VI saxophone. And today, if you found anything like this online or anything, it's like $20,000.
Wow.
Ish.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that the one?
Not that I care about that.
Right. But is that the one you're still playing? Like you're using that? Really?
Yeah, same one.
I feel like same one. I feel like it's kind of like my TaylorMade Burner 5 wood that I have that I just won't part with because I hit it so well. No. Right? You know?
No. Get the Sim too. Get rid
really?
Of that.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. With golf clubs, if you're sentimental about a golf club, you are definitely not maximizing your potential.
Okay.
100%.
So you're telling me
this is different.
Okay.
This is like an old pair of jeans that fits perfectly that you don't need to get a new pair. That's what this is.
Okay, but I only have that 1.5. That's it. It's just the 5-wood. Everything else, here he goes. Go ahead. Play it. Go ahead. I know.
You can do that. But I just got the new TaylorMade stuff, and right. I'm super loving it.
I got the M6s, and I love them. Go ahead.
Yeah, M6s. I had the M6, and now I've got the Sim 2. And with my Sim 2 the other day on hole number 2 at where I play, which is I never reach in 2, I reached in 2 and I made an eagle.
Wow.
Yeah.
God,
after years and years and years. So that the technology it's real. I mean, I'm not any stronger than I was years ago, and I'm not any faster. So the technology allowed me to do it.
Kenny, was there ever a time where you considered going golf instead of the saxophone? Like I think you could have been good enough to play on tour. No, you're shaking your head. No. Listen, I'm good. I'm not that good.
I was the captain of my high school golf team, but we were the worst golf team. worst golf team in Seattle, in the Seattle school district.
All right, Kenny, besides me asking you to perform for my wife on a Valentine's Day episode of Stupidity, what's the coolest celebrity request you've ever received?
Well, this one's super easy. You know, it's that famous thing I did for Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
When he asked me to play for Kim with the roses and the whole thing, that was pretty great.
Right.
And by the way, so I had never met him before that. I didn't know him. So when I got the message, it was actually through a couple of people, and then David Foster, the famous producer, he then chimes in. He goes, "Hey, you know, Kanye's trying to get a hold of you to do this." And so I said, "Well, what should I do?" He goes, "Yeah, you should do it." So that's when I did it. I went over to his house, met him for the very first time, and it was so much fun. When they asked me for a bill, I told them, this is on the house.
Wow.
No charge.
Wow. Really? Yeah. And what would that bill have been? I mean, you're not going to tell me, are you?
I don't want to tell you, you know, if you need, by the way, anyone, if you need me, just go to cameo.com.
Boom! He does have something to promote. Attaboy.
I do.
Do you take saxophone requests on Cameo?
I take any requests on Cameo. So the last request was I got from the Canadian, the Montreal Canadiens, the hockey team. And they said that they're playing like celebrity things before they show the game, because it's all virtual now as far as I think. And they said, "Hey, can you play the Canadian national anthem?" I said, "Yeah. I just got to learn it." So I learned it and played it.
Send me the sheet music.
Mike, no, I'm going to buy a Cameo for your mother-in-law,
no sheet
Mike.
Music. No. Every Cameo I do, I memorize. I never read. You know, Cameo's great. It's got a great app where you could actually see the words on the screen. It's like a teleprompter.
It's fantastic.
I never do that, though. I always memorize it. So when I'm looking at the camera and I'm doing my cameos, I'm saying it from here rather than reading like, "Hello, Mary, how are you?"
So, Kenny, I'm also on Cameo. I get a ton of requests. How do you think I do it, Kenny, knowing me the way you know me now? You memorize it. You know I'm reading that thing word for word as I'm recording, okay?
Yeah. Well, hey, I don't know how much you charge for your Cameo. What are your
struggles? So I started at like $45 and they were coming in so fast and furious because you know our audience, Kenny. Like, they're crazy people, right? I say that lovingly about them. Then I raised it to 150 and it has slowed down a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's good.
But I left it at 150. Where's yours? At like 100,000? Where are you?
No. I started at 200.
Right.
And I raised it to 295, and I think I'll just leave it there because I don't want it to be too expensive. I see some of these other guys that are like 500, 600, 450. I just think that for people, they really want it and it's a lot of money, you know? So I think 295 seems about right for me. And usually what I do is, you know, whatever they want. If they ask me, "Can you play?" Like somebody said, La Vie en Rose. You know that famous song?
Yeah.
I don't know that song. Mm-hmm. So I had to go on. I go on YouTube. I see somebody sing it. I write the notes down. I memorize the song. And then I give it to him, and I think it's great. I like doing it.
Well worth the $2.95.
Yeah, no, you are the best.
I think so. Yeah,
Kenny, so Mikey A, his mother-in-law, is like your biggest fan. So I am going to go to Cameo yes. when we're done. Mikey A, figure out what she wants, what song she wants Kenny G to play, okay, whatever message. I'm going to spend $2.95 on your Cameo, okay? You have done so much for me in our show. It's the least I can do for you, okay?
Yeah. But you know, bro, you can just text. Since you got my number, you can just text me, and I can just text you back the video at no charge. So that's okay.
Well, listen,
you can give that money to somebody that needs it.
Okay, well, the beautiful thing about Kanye and Kim is they were about to pay you a lot of money for something you did for free on this podcast for me. I mean, that was amazing by you.
Very well.
What was
it? It'll be fun. I'll look forward to doing it. You know, just make sure if you're going to give me lots of good info so I can make the Cameo really good. Nicknames, things that have happened only that I know. Somebody told me, he goes, yeah, I want you to give my father-in-law some shit because he's got a bikini picture of his wife that he shows to everybody. And for 50 years, she's been telling him not to show it. So on the video, I go, hey, you know, Joe, listen, bro, you got to stop showing that bikini picture, but show it to me first. But after me, no, don't show it ever again. And boy, she looks good. You're like that kind of thing. And it's very personal that way.
Much.
Use it for the cover of your next album.
Yeah, exactly right.
Oh, boy.
That's what I would do. Kenny, what was Kim's reaction when you started playing in that house? What was Kim Kardashian's reaction to this?
The reaction was the immediate whipping out of the iPhone and film. that's how things are in the younger world. When there's something great happens, it's an immediate, let's film this. And so she just was walking around filming me as I was looking, and I was watching Kanye, and he had this big grin on his face, and he was kind of looking like, hey, I set this thing up. Isn't this cool? And she's just filming, and she's just enjoying it. It was really fun.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped, opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Kenny, I'm going to throw out some names for you, and if you have a quick story for each, that'd be great. And if you don't, just pass and we'll edit it out, okay? All right.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra. These are people you work with, obviously. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank Sinatra played on his first duets album. They sent me the tape. It was tape back then. They sent me the tape. I listened to it. I called Phil Ramone, the producer. I said, hey, Phil, when is he going to do the final vocal? And he goes, that is the final vocal. I said, sounds great. Okay. Where do you want me to fill in the gaps? So, because it honestly didn't sound that good to me, honestly. And I say that with all the respect in the world, but it didn't sound that great. And I thought, well, I don't want to play on it unless I can get the final, because when I play something with a vocalist, I'm really like mixing my notes in just perfectly to where the vocal is. So if he's going to sing something different, I didn't want to play unless I knew the final. But that turned out to be the final, and I just kind of had my foot in my mouth.
All right. That's a funny and good story. Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston. Okay, there you go. Whitney Houston. Here you go.
I did some research, Kenny. I did some research. You're impressed.
All right. So 1987, Whitney's doing her first world tour. Right, because she's on Arista Records, I'm on Arista Records. They're going crazy. They got their two big artists, and so I'm going to be your opening act. Okay, so if you ever come to my show, I start my shows in the audience. I start and I walk in the audience and I play, and we get that wall broken down, and then I get back on stage, and everybody's happy, and we're putting on a good show. So they saw me do this, and they say they came to me the first date. They said, listen, we know you walk in the audience. Can't do that with Whitney. I said, why can't I do that with Whitney? Insurance. Can't have you in the audience. Another thing, when Whitney comes out of her dressing room, none of you guys can be in the hallway. You have to be, she can't see anybody. I said, oh, okay, cool. All right, so I went back to my band and I said, guys, we're going to get fired tonight. this is going to be our first and last gig with Whitney Houston. I said, so the opening thing comes out, I'm in the audience and I'm milking. I'm in the audience longer than I've been in the audience ever.
Right.
And I finished my set. And the guy comes back to me, goes, her tour manager, big, big, big guy named Tony, goes, listen, bro, we're going to have a talk after this. So I'm going to get her on stage and that's it. You know, you're out of here. I said, oh, okay. And then I said to the guys, listen, Whitney's about to come out of her dressing room. Let's all get out in the hallway and tell her good show. So she comes out of her dressing room and we're all standing there and the guys are giving me this look like, I thought I told you not to be in the hallway. And I go, hey, Whitney. Hey, it's great being on tour with you. Have fun. It's great. And blah, blah, blah. So we do all that. And then I get taken into the office and chewed out like nobody's been chewed out before.
You're proud of that story, Getty.
I am. And so, I said, listen, here's the thing. Fire me now or let me do the show that I want to do. And don't treat us like we're like second class citizens. So you figure that out. I'm happy for this to be our last gig. And then they came back to me like in an hour and they go, it's all right. We worked out with the insurance company. Everything's cool.
You're a fucking G, Kenny.
Yeah, baby.
DJ.
And then we did like 60 shows together. And by the way, on her record, I had played a sax solo on one of her songs that she plays every night. And she's got her sax player playing it. And he's not playing it anywhere near the way I played it. From the first night, I said, Whitney, I will be glad to wait around and come and sit in with you and play that song. It'll be great, man. Great, we're going to do it. 60 shows later, at Madison Square Garden, because Clive Davis was going to be there and all the Arista people, then I get the chance to do it. And I got to tell you this, being on stage with her, having her like inches from me, singing to me, for it was that song that goes, live for the love of you, da-da-da-da-da, that Isley Brothers song. I'm telling you, bro, I could not even play my sax. I was melting. Wow. She's so good. She was so amazing. And I thought, God darn it, why can't we do this more often? But it was once. It didn't happen once.
You've played with Sinatra. You've played with Aretha Franklin. I know it was brief. Whitney, so many people. It was playing with Whitney the most in awe you've ever been playing with someone on stage?
It was
really?
That moment. Yeah. She, that voice of hers.
Wow. Incredible.
She was unbelievable. And that face, she had such a beautiful face. Just having that, like she was looking at me. I thought, okay, we're going to make love later. We're going to make love later for sure.
Unfortunately, she wasn't thinking the same thing, Getty, right?
I mean, no, she wasn't thinking the same thing. No.
Do you have a good Tiger Woods story in you?
Oh, okay, Tiger Woods.
Oh, my God. Kenny, every time you're about to blow that
excited.
Sax.
You got excited. I know.
He was about to play something. All right, let's do Tiger Woods.
No. I'm just keeping the reed wet just in case you ask me to play something.
Oh, I will.
The reed's dry, it's going to sound crappy.
Okay.
Okay, so Tiger Woods, I've played golf with him 5 times.
Right.
And every time has been great. He is so great to play with because he is the ultimate smartass. He really is. Let's see what happened with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods.
He's a wise ass. Oh, that's funny to hear.
He's a wise ass. So we're playing first hole. I've got a birdie putt. He's got a birdie putt. I miss mine. He makes his. He looks up at me, goes, you know why I made my putt? I go, no, why? He goes, well, you only got one letter. I said, what do you mean? Well, you're G. I said, yeah. And what about you? He goes, I'm 3 letters. He goes, what? I go, what? He goes, P-R-O. Pro. I said, is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah, right, good response, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was mildly funny, but you got to give a little extra laugh for Tiger, right?
He's great. He's he's generous with like golf tips, and he's easy to talk to. You just can't be intimidated by him, because if you're intimidated by him, he doesn't like it. So, for example, we up at the AT&T when I used to play in that tournament, I'm putting, like I'm practicing my putting, and I'm concentrating. All of a sudden, I feel somebody's hand on my head. And he says, don't move your head. And I look up, it's Tiger. I go, don't you have something better to do than to pay attention to my putting? He goes, no, I'm trying to help you out. Don't move your head. Like I said, hey, that feels good. I go, hey, why don't you and I have a putting contest? He goes, great. $10 a hole. I said, sure. So 9 holes later, I only lost $20. I'm thinking this is the best thing of all time. So I go to give him the 20 and he goes, that's okay. Just you can owe it to me. No problem. And so I'm really proud of that. Later on, I'm walking around and I see his coach, Butch Harmon. And I tell him the story and he goes, Tiger loves everybody to owe him money. He just wants you to owe him money. I said, oh, man. He goes, here's what you do. Tomorrow when you see him, run up to him, take the 20, stick it in his pocket, look him in the eyes and go, Tiger, fuck you.
Please tell me you did it.
I go, come on, man. I can't do that. I'm nervous thinking about it. He goes, no, you got to do it. I said, okay, I'll do it. So the next day, I'm putting, and then I see Tiger coming, walking by. He goes, hey, Kenny. I go, hey, Tiger. He goes, hey, how's the putting coming? I go, oh, thanks for the tips. Oh, it's been great. And he walks away. And now Butch Harmon, his coach, is going, do it, do it. So I'm nervous telling you the story. So I run behind him. I'm behind him. I stick my hand in his pocket with the 20. I said, here's your 20, Tiger. Fuck you. And he turns around and he goes, that was awesome. Good job.
I love that Tiger cares more about you owing him money than actually collecting. That is so, that is fantastic.
He's great. He's
very Stugatz.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
great.
It's very Stugatz. Is there a Phil Mickelson story that you have? Because Phil would have taken that 20.
Okay. So Phil and I, we're partnered together at the AT&T. And by the way, we won tournament.
I know. Mm-hmm.
We have, my name's on the plaque there with Phil. So he's just, he's fantastic. What a great partner. What a great golfer. But yes, he is all about betting. Like he'll bet anything about anything. Like we're on hole number 7 and he goes, see who can throw the ball closer to the thing for $100. I'm going, bro, I'm just going to lose $100. Anyway, he loves to bet, but boy, he's a really, really nice guy. I'm friends with him and his family. What a good guy. So I can't say anything, any more nice things about Phil. I love Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, we had his caddy Bones on last week, and he was fantastic. Just told some great stories, legendary stories about him gambling.
Bones was there. We would go out to dinner, and we talk about what we're going to do the next day, and Bones was there. Here's my only gripe with Phil. My only gripe. Okay, hole number 7 at Pebble, that famous hole, par 3. Okay, I have a 3-foot putt for par. He's got a 3-foot, 8-inch putt for birdie, same exact line. And I go up to Bones and say, hey, Bones, let me putt first. I'll show you the line. He goes, that's okay. That's all right. We're good. We're good. Phil misses his
putt.
No. We're a team. We want the birdie. We don't want the putt.
You're right. I'm sorry.
And I was thinking, I said, look, come on. It can't do anything but help you. Why wouldn't you want to take me up on that? I didn't like that. That was, I didn't like that at all. That one stroke would have got us into first place all by ourselves rather than tying with Tiger Woods and his partner, Jerry Chang.
Have you let Phil forget about that? Please say no.
Look, trust me. Phil forgot about that the second after it happened.
Of course he did. But that, I mean,
nobody's thinking about that. I'm the only one thinking.
But seriously, Phil's so good that he doesn't want your line. That's absurd. Who cares?
You know, honestly, I get it. It's like if you see an amateur putt and maybe they hit the putt with a little slice or a little draw or something, and the ball rolls. Sometimes you can't tell what's really going to happen. So I can understand that. But I would think after 3 days and watching me putt, since I was putting so well, you're going to know. I'm going to put a good roll on it. I'm going to show you the line. Anyway, I like that.
I can tell. I am wondering, and we'll get you out of here in a minute. You've been very gracious with your time, as usual. Being from Washington, have you ever played or done anything with Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam?
Never.
Wow. Okay.
Never met him, no.
Is there someone you haven't worked with that you're dying to work with?
Paul McCartney.
Really? Really?
I want Paul to call. I want him to call me and just say, hey, let's play a solo on this new song that I did. Come to England and record it in my studio. Or even better yet, just send me the tape.
Right, send me the tape.
I'll do it like Frank Sinatra.
Have you tried? How does this work with you, Kenny? Have you tried to get in touch with McCartney? Has that? No? Nothing.
No, I haven't. I should actually try to reach out, but you know, in the studio here, it's really, I can do anything, and it's easy, and it's better for me if no one's around. That way, I can fine tune all my parts, like I did with The Weeknd when he asked me to play on his song. Like, I said, okay, send me the tracks, and let me see. And so I was in here, and I spent a few hours figuring out what I wanted to do, and I sent it to him, and he only had like a little tiny comment about fixing something, and it was really easier, much better than if I would have went and worked with somebody on it,
because it would have taken way longer. On stupidity. If I get Paul McCartney, if I get you in touch with Paul McCartney, will you get Tiger Woods and Phil on this podcast?
Okay. I could probably get Phil on, but I don't have Tiger's number, but I have Phil's, but not Tiger's.
Okay.
All right, fine. Phil and Augusta.
I can get you Sergio for sure. Sergio will talk to you.
Don, I would love that. That would be. You want to co-host this goddamn thing with me, please?
Oh yeah, I would.
Yes.
By the way, Sergio is so funny. By the way, he is a really good joke teller.
Okay.
You wouldn't know that about it. He's a great joke teller.
Kenny, if you are down, I will have you co-host this thing once a month if you have the time. Once a month. Me and you will co-host this thing together and bring guests on, okay? And I'll get you McCartney, all right?
I'll do that, and I'll ask questions that'll be so much better than yours.
That's not hard, Kenny. That's not hard. The Grateful Dead. Have you ever played done anything with the Dead? Are you a Dead fan?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm not anti-Dead, but I just don't. I'm not pro-Dead.
So, how long would it take you to learn like a Dead song? Like, if I, because I love the Dead. It's the only band that I love. So, I'm just like, how long would that take you?
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
10 minutes?
Come on, Kenny. 10 minutes. You're a fucking genius. All right. Next time, I'm gonna do. Next time you co-host with me, I am going to. I am going to give you some Dead songs to try to play on the air because it's my favorite band.
As long as they have some sort of a melody that I can actually hear a melody line, I can learn it easy. Not a problem.
All right, we're gonna get you out of here. We have a quick game: to G or not to G. That is the question.
To G or not to G.
Yes, and then we will, Mike, of a song that you would like Kenny to play because he has that sax in hand, and I don't want to waste the opportunity. I don't know if it's Take Me Out to the... I don't know what it is, Mike, but just think of something, all right?
Yeah, but by the way, yeah, if I don't know it, I can fake it the best I can. But
I might want to hear that La Vie en Rose.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. But I only memorized it for that cameo.
All right, I'll think of something else.
Oh wait, let me make it sound better.
Okay. God, he is the best. Oh my God. He's the best. Jesus Christ. He's in the studio right now for the audience. There he is. Oh,
that was pretty awesome.
Pretty damn good. All right. To G or not to G? Go ahead, Mike.
To G or not to G? Peeing in the shower.
I feel terrible asking.
G.
Yeah, that's because you're a G. We know the answer to this one. Cutting your hair short. To G or not to G?
Not G, not
Breath,
to G.
Never G.
Never G.
Breakfast balls and golf. To G or not to G?
G. Thank you.
Guy who's stretching, acting like he has an injury, walking onto the first tee. G or not to G? Not to G. Mike, I feel bad asking. Kenny G is like royalty. I feel bad asking him some of these. All right, I'll ask him. Farting under the covers. To G or not to G?
Under or over?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Anywhere.
Everywhere. Just let them fly.
Anywhere.
Peeing in the pool. To G or not to G? That is the question.
Not to G.
Not to G. Really?
Not to G.
Playing the tuba.
Playing the tuba, the not to G. No.
But how about,
no tuba.
Picking your nose. To G or not to G?
Not to G.
Singing in the shower. To G or not to G? Of course, to G, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course to G. Of course. I sound like Michael Bolton when I'm in the shower.
Let me hear, Kenny.
Hey, I need Woody Allen to set up the scene like in that movie. Then I'll do it.
Okay. Eating food after you dropped it on the floor. To G or not to G?
Oh, to G, for sure. I'm not wasting shit.
Nice. Kenny, how long does it have to sit there before you won't eat it?
Maybe a minute. A full minute.
A full minute. 45
and,
seconds.
And it also depends on whether it's carpet or hard floor. Hardwood, it may go longer than a minute, but on a carpet, it's got to be like 30 seconds max.
All right.
You know, I'm not that I'm promoting this now, but I'm actually going to do a book.
Really?
I'm doing a book.
Wow.
It's going to happen. I'm working out the deal, but I'm kind of thinking of a title. If I use to G or not to G as the title of the book.
Yes.
Would that be something that you guys are going to send, you know, your attorneys, Mr. Spiegel and Spiegel and Spiegel at for me?
Mikey A would never do that, but yes for never. Me. A big yes for me.
Okay, then I won't use it.
No.
I can't pay.
Listen, this whole podcast is a negotiation. Kenny, you use it, okay? You use it free of charge, okay? And just co-host Mickelson and perhaps Augusta one day, okay?
I love it. Are you a golfer by any chance? I mean, do you play? What's your handicap?
So I'm like a 10 handicap right now. So I'll go out there. I'll be, you know, anywhere between 78 and 83, somewhere in that range.
That's okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
You'll do well. Augusta, it's not, honestly, it's not that hard from the members' tees. And they don't, you know, when we would play, the greens wouldn't be all souped up like they are.
Right.
By the way, how great was the tournament this weekend?
Did you enjoy it? See, so I like what I want. I don't really root for a particular golfer. Occasionally Phil, sometimes Tiger. I just root for an exciting, and Augusta's my favorite event of the year, the Masters.
Yeah.
So I just root, and it's weird. I was explaining to the guys on the show today, Dan, who does not watch golf, I love Justin Rose. In fact, you can call me a fan of Justin Rose, but when he goes 7-under first round, the way you're conditioned to root for golf is you want Justin Rose to maybe shoot a +2, come back to the field a little bit, because you want to have an exciting Sunday. So I was happy for Hideki, deserving winner. But I was unhappy because selfishly I want one of those endings where there's three or four or five guys who have a shot. We didn't really get that till the very end with Schauffele yesterday, but I did enjoy it. I always enjoy it. It's hard not to. Did you like it?
Yeah. I really loved it, but I felt bad for Schauffele because I actually played golf with him a few months ago.
Of course you did.
Here in LA, and what a great guy. So I was, you know, when he caught him on the 15th hole, almost caught him.
Yes.
I thought, wow, this is going to be great. So I was just, I like that kind of finish too. I was happy for Hideki. I mean, same. I go to Japan all the time. So I'm glad. I'm sure the Japanese are so ecstatic.
I'm certain they're having a party today. Did you have anything? Was there any objection to Schauffele going for it on the 16th there? Cause I was thinking like Hideki was reeling at that point, Kenny. And if you're Schauffele, just put one in the middle of the green and make Hideki hit one to the middle of the green. Cause he was so nervous coming off of 15 headed to 16.
Oh, yeah, I think did you see the shot that Schauffele hit on 13,
incredible.
14, and 15? They were all so close. If I'm Schauffele, I'm thinking I'm so dialed in. I've got the exact yardage. I'm just going to hit this perfect golf shot. And I think according to him on his interview, he said he just miscalculated the wind, but he hit the shot well.
Yeah. Xander's going to win one of those soon, though, because he's top five, like four of the last 5 years, I think.
Wow, he's so good. I loved it. In fact, I just got to finish watching it like this morning because I was falling asleep last night. So I paused it and I go, okay. So I could not look at my phone. I could not look at the computer. I didn't answer anything until about like 11 o'clock this morning until I watched the end because somebody's going to spoil it.
Wow.
Hey, what about, you know, Hideki? He's like, I don't want to read that.
Right. Kenny, you went a half a day essentially without social media or phone. Like that seems impossible in 2021.
No, I did it since like yesterday at like 3 p.m. because it was four. It was over at 4:00. So 4:00 yesterday till I didn't care. I was great.
Listen, back in the
good excuse not to return phone calls.
Exactly right. Back in the day when we were growing up, that was simple. I did that for the horse that just, I think 3 or 4 years ago won the Triple Crown. So the final leg is the Belmont Stakes. I went an entire day with my daughter trying to not see the results of that. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done, Kenny. So, yes.
Yeah, you got to cover your eyes. You got to cover your ears.
All right, Kenny.
I loved it.
Let's get you out of here on this note. Thank you for the time. We love this. You've been gracious as always.
Thank you.
Kenny, get the hell out of here. You're fantastic. How can I ask you a question? This might be insensitive. How old are you, Kenny?
Just 64?
Jesus fucking Christ, Kenny. I mean, I'll never look as good as you do right now in my entire life. I mean, seriously.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am, Kenny? Let's try that.
No idea. Zero.
I'm 68.
Well, okay.
No, I'm 47. Perfect. I'm 47.
Oh, yeah. And you see, when you said 68, I went, yeah, looks, he looks 68.
And then, yeah, when I said 47, you're like, Jesus Christ, he's in trouble. Kenny, I love you. Thank you.
Okay, man.
All right. Check him out on.
Thank you, Kenny. Thanks,
guys. Check him out on Cameo. And Kenny, I look forward to co-hosting with you down the road. Okay.
Same here. Bye, guys. Bye, Mike. You. See you guys.
Holy shit, Mike, I am swooning. Like, I am swooning. Where is Mikey C when you need him? I need a pack of heaters. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Bring me down.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to do with myself the rest of the day. Mike, what was your favorite part of that?
Just he was carrying the saxophone the whole time, and then just occasionally he'd just pick it up and just... I loved it. What was your favorite?
That he's getting Phil for us. And co-hosting with me, Stupidity! Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.